All right, folks. So next we're going to hear from Jackie Barkley, who is a longtime social worker and activist in Halifax. And she's going to comment on the history of deinstitutionalization and how that impacted the housing crisis in Halifax.
Hi, everyone participating in this really important event. My name is Jackie Barkley. I've been a social worker in Halifax since the early 70s. I guess I want to talk about some of the issues around housing that have caused me a great deal of distress and sadness and anger over the conditions that people are having to live under and people who have no place to live. For me, it starts back in the early 80s when the interest rates in Halifax, and I guess around the country, had gone up to sometimes between 18% and 20% interest on purchasing a property. So what that meant is that developers weren't developing, and individual families weren't buying houses, and the housing crisis became unbelievable. There was as far as I can remember, a minus percentage of vacancy rate. So there was an unbelievably low vacancy rate. So all kinds of people couldn't find places to live. Women who were at Briony House and other shelters couldn't leave because they couldn't find a place to go and live with their children. That was also the period when deinstitutionalization of persons with mental illness were literally thrown out of institutions, at least that's how I see it, with no clear plan for what the alternative would be. So starting with deinstitutionalization, I certainly wouldn't argue that many persons with disabilities, emotional, intellectual, physical, wanted to live in large institutions, but I also don't think the alternative that was presented, which was the street or slums, was a very attractive alternative. So deinstitutionalization was seen as a really progressive thing, which it would have been had alternatives been provided. I actually don't remember seeing homeless people on the streets of Halifax before the late 70s, early 80s. It doesn't mean that the conditions people were all living in were good, but I do not remember seeing homeless people on the street. So when the incredible housing crisis started, community groups in large numbers organized. There was at one point in the early 80s a group called the Housing for People Coalition, which had probably as many as 25 agencies and social groups involved in it. Grant Wenzel was a very important person who sustained a commitment to that process at the time, an architect. The other important development in the early 80s was the organization of a group called MUMS, Mothers United for Metro Shelter. And that advocacy group, very radical advocacy group, was started by Heather Schneider and other women who were then living in a shelter for battered women and who couldn't go anywhere. And they really grew this organization. They were very radical. They were very public. They would do their own occupations and demonstrations. I remember one of them being a huge, well-advertised or well-announced trip on the Dartmouth Ferry with unfurling their banners, Mothers United for Metro Shelter. They also helped to organize the Tent City, which happened on the little island on the way to the North Street Bridge, to talk about the horrific circumstances of people who couldn't find places to live, including mothers with children. The other thing I think that's so important for all of us to be thinking about is who actually makes money from scarce housing resources or available housing resources that are at prices low-income persons can't afford. And it's private landlords. And it's really important to know that one of the dynamics that tends to happen every time people advocate for an increase in the shelter allowance for people on disability and income assistance is that the rents in poor housing and the rents by slum landlords go up to match the amount of money that the housing allowance has been raised to. So what that means is that collectively, as the people of Nova Scotia, our money, those of us who can afford to pay taxes, actually isn't going to support and ameliorate the conditions of low-income persons. The money is simply going to fill the pockets of landlords. So we have to really look at and struggle to look at, you know, really important criticisms of the whole social structure we're living in order to talk about how to address homelessness and how to improve the conditions of low-income people. Because the way we're doing it now doesn't work.